Ladies and gentlemen, would you turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 18 this morning? I thought you had them a while ago. Matthew chapter 18. Okay, everybody like to have a copy of Miss Trina's here with them, right quick. Try to get one to each family. One to each family. In Matthew chapter 18, Matthew 18 and verse 14, even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. To put it even more proper, God does not want anyone to perish. That is, to be lost. Isn't that good? God's made it possible that everybody can be saved. And because God loves everybody. So I'm going to be talking with you a little while this morning about rescuing the perishing. I thought it was impressed on my heart and mind this week with what all has gone on in Louisiana and Texas. The vast number of people that's trying to help people. Trying to rescue people because of the flood. I thought it would be appropriate to talk about rescuing the perishing. And we have seen a great outpouring of effort by so many people trying to help people this week. We've seen the devastation from flooding in Texas from Hurricane Harvey. The Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, and the National Guard have all been involved in trying to rescue thousands of people in those flooded areas. Then there was the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the Samaritan Purse, the police, the sheriff departments, the state troopers, the volunteers, and many other relief agencies providing aid in food, clothing, water, medicines, housings, and other items that was needed. It's just been a tremendous effort in our country to rescue these people that were so devastated by this flood. The financial cost of this flooding, some are saying it could go to $190 billion. That's with a B, dollars. That's a lot of money, folks. $190 billion would be the most expensive disaster we've ever had. And we've had some mighty big ones. This storm produced 52 inches of water, the most ever in our nation. 52 inches of water is a lot of water. Over 42,000 people have been put in shelters. That's one figure I saw. Figures might vary, but that's what I saw. It was estimated at one point that over 500,000 cars and trucks were destroyed. Over 200,000 homes were destroyed or severely damaged. These are some of the figures that's been out there. 1 million people have been evacuated. So far, as of last night, 42 were reported dead. The damage from the storm likely will take years and probably in some ways never be overcome. Listening to the news, I would flip between channels. Mostly I listen to Fox News. That's about the only reliable channel. And you have to even watch some of that. But going between channels, actually, you wouldn't hear much about God at all. Very little was being said. But the people being rescued, hardly ever anybody mentioned God. The thing that bothered me was Texans can take it. That's pride to the highest hilt, and God hates it. But it is heartbreaking to see thousands of people who lost everything to the storm. And Johnny, this past week, Thursday, I think it was, I rode through 41 over there. First time I've been over there in some time. But the houses are vacated. It's almost lonely over there, isn't it, Johnny? From that storm. And that storm was severe for Robeson County. But it was just a little bit compared to what Texas has got. So we're seeing a rescue, the perishing effort in Texas. People's concerned about people. Thank God. Thank God they're concerned about people. We're seeing black people helping white people, and white people helping black people, and so forth and so on. We're seeing Democrats helping. We've seen Republicans helping. We've seen seemingly to forget about the titles and to see us as people rescuing and helping people. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. It's great to see our country respond in such a great manner. And even today, there's many volunteers headed to Texas and Louisiana. They're going with their own boats. Businesses are donating food, clothing, and money. Some big businesses are donating $1 million also. Home Depot's, they're donating a lot of stuff. And others. Walmart, is it for every dollar give? They giving two or something or other like that? Is that the way? But they're giving a right good offering. It's great to see our country respond in such a manner. For a while, it's Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and many religious organizations working together to rescue the perishing. And our country has become so polarized in the past that the Republicans and the Democrats can't do anything to help our country. We're so divided. So much anger and hate. But I believe God's got our attention. At least I hope so. I hope so. I pray so. People, you remember that song that I always thought was pretty? I forget who sang it. People need people. That's true. But we also need God, don't we? We need God. In Luke chapter 10, would you turn in your Bible? Because I have a lengthy scripture I want to read. And I want you to follow along in your Bible. Luke chapter 10. Because this is an important passage of scripture. Of course, I've never read in scripture that wasn't important. Have y'all? In Luke chapter 10. And beginning down at verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed. Sound like some of the things that's going on today. Leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest, a religious man that day. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Here was a good Samaritan, saw a man that needed help. And he took time to help the man. He even went to the expense of seeing that his needs was met. Because he cared for the individual. And folks, we all hurt just alike. We all have the same needs. We all are people. And we should respect one another. A good Samaritan spirit is at work in our nation that is so divided by many political views today. I hope this will continue. Tuesday, Congress comes back in to town. I hope they'll come back with a humble attitude. I hope they'll come back to realize the country needs the support of the Congress, that they're not above their fellow man like they think. They've got an insurance program that's different from ours or y'all's or the public's because they're better. And that's wrong. It's wrong. They don't work for so many days in the years and get this nearly $200,000. They don't even work all year. And in fact, they've been out of town, 3 weeks or so? Let's talk about the image of God a moment. What our country needs to understand, we are all, did you get that? We are all made in the image of God. One person is not more important than another in the sight of God. Do I need to say that again? One person is no better than somebody else. One person is not more important than another in the sight of God. And every person everywhere has the same basic needs. And the Bible is clear. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's what the Lord said. And that's what we are hoping will be continuing to take place in Texas, and hopefully will spill over into the rest of the country. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. Because we're all made in the image of God. We all have the same needs. God loves us all just alike. And no one is no better than anybody else. Paul wrote in Galatians 5:14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." There's no room for hate and anger and spite against other people. We're to love people, pray for people. That's the way you show love, one way, to pray for people. James 2, verse 8 writes, "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well," James wrote. The Bible's clear. We're to love other people. We're to pray for other people. We're to do good unto those that despitefully use us. There's a teaching of the Bible by the Lord Himself. We have had far too long hate and anger, bitterness, racism. What we need is love. And the church is supposed to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. I heard an atheist say, or I read what he said. He said, "I'm an atheist, but I believe in helping people," he said. Even the atheists believe in helping people. Sadly, in the midst of this disaster, there are those who are looting people's businesses and their houses. Looting. Now you talk about an evil, wicked heart. It's people taking advantage of people. A number of them have been arrested, but I'm sure that'll be just a few according to the multitude of looters. The scum of society. There are others who are gouging everyone they can to enrich themselves because of the situation. Go by the gas pump today. It went from 209 to 260 something now in a week. They got more gas than they know what to do with, folks. They've been telling this lie ever since the 70s when they said we were running out of gas. It's a lie. We got so much gas in the United States today, they don't know what to do with it. Just this country. The devil is always at work using someone to do his wickedness. The President Trump, is pledging the resources of our government to help the victims of Hurricane Harvey. And you know what some people are doing? They're making fun of his wife because she's got on a pair of high heels. It's ridiculous. At least she went down there to check on them, didn't she? Amen? You know what? Them criticizing didn't go. And if I was a betting man, I bet they don't send no money either. The damage from the storm will affect people of Texas and Louisiana for years to come. Just like now, it's been almost a year. Next month it'll be a year. So you ride by 41 up, going to Fairmont. They're out in South Lumberton. It looks pitiful, folks. It looks pitiful. When thousands of people have lost everything. Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about because it happened to some of y'all. You lost everything but what you had on your back. That's what happened to thousands down yonder. You know what was so disturbing? They're pulling those people out of waters that's full of sewage and snakes, alligators, and all kind of bacteria. I'd hate to have my skin in that, folks. The doctors are talking about it's going to be terrible with some. They've lost everything. Some of them are sleeping on the floor now. And even when the water goes down, a lot of them won't have a place to go to. And it was real sad to see even the hospitals was having to shut down because they were messed up. Had to get people out.
Their water, they didn't have water.
Didn't even have water. Folks, listen, I'm not the judge. But God's talking to somebody. God's talking to somebody. And that don't mean it's just in Texas either. And Jesus made that point. And his ministry about Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented if they'd have heard him preaching. And yet where he was preaching at then, they wouldn't hear him. And he said it'd be better for Sodom and Gomorrah on Judgment Day than where he was preaching at. So these people woke up one morning and water was coming up in their house. Many of them had to leave home without their medicines, without important papers. But I tell you one thing they all had. They had their cell phone. Amen. They had them cell phones. And I don't know how, Brother Johnny, but they kept them charged. I don't know what they were charging them with. They ain't going to lose them cell phones. Some people won't ever recover from this. Some of them it'll affect emotionally the rest of their life. Some people, they may relocate to another city or a state. But you know what? We heard about people in Katrina that relocated to Houston, and now they've got it in Houston too. Let me tell you something. You can't get away from God. Jonah tried that trick. He couldn't. Life goes on, folks, but there's no promise of tomorrow. You just don't know what you may be facing tomorrow. Not a one of us know. You don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes from now. Life's uncertain. Life here is important, but far too many people are facing an even more tragic future where there is no help. Are y'all listening to me? Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. There's a day coming where there is no help. And there's going to be more than in Houston, Texas. Jesus addressed this so that all would be prepared for that time in Matthew 24 and verse 44. Jesus said, "Therefore be ye also ready." Now you can get ready for this future disaster that's coming. And it's a coming. There's no denying it. It's the truth. Disaster is on the way. We've been warned about it in the Word of God. And Jesus said, "Be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come. And when He comes, it's going to be too late for the rest. Won't have time." Turn in your Bible to John chapter 5. One of my favorite scriptures, by the way. John chapter 5. In John 5, beginning at verse 26, Jesus said, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so He hath given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man." Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. It's a coming. "In the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice." Can y'all imagine, folks, all them people in the graveyard? They're going to hear Jesus one day. Every single one of them. You know, these graves, that there's nothing there that you can see with your natural eye, because they've gone back to dust and mingled in the dust. But the Lord knows where every one of them's at. He's Almighty Lord, folks. "For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and they shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life." Done good by believing on Jesus, the Savior. "And they that have done evil," they forgot to trust the Savior. That's the most evil thing one can do in this world. Reject Jesus. It's the only unforgivable sin. Rejecting Jesus. "They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Eternal separation from God. The Lord Himself is warned, better be ready. Time to get ready is now. There's a day coming for most people that's worse than anything Texas has ever seen or thought about. This life is going to end for every one of us one day. You might live to be 150, but it's going to end. Noah lived 950, but he died. Methuselah lived 969, the longest of any known person, but he died. You're going to die. You better be prepared. Thank you, sister. And we are all accountable to our Creator because we're living in His world. And He has told us how to live in His world. And many of us have refused to listen to how He told us to live. So while this life here is important, and rightly so, people should be helping people in their time of great need. But let's not forget, there's even a more serious and greater need And that is the souls of people are perishing all around us. And that's why we support missions and missionaries. That's why we have a church to invite people to come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus used sheep to illustrate an important truth in Luke 15 and verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? I bet if you had 100 $1 bills in your billfold and one of them got missing, you turned the house upside down to you found that $1 bill. Amen? Amen? I would at my house, amen. I'd do it for a penny. I picks up pennies. The Bible says in Matthew 18 and verse 11, for the Son of Man is come, that is Jesus, to save that which is lost, and I was the lost one. Were you a lost one? Yeah, we were all lost. Jesus came to find us, to save us, because he loves us, folks. The Son of Man, the soul of man is priceless. Your soul is priceless. Jesus died for the souls of people. He didn't necessarily just die for your life here, although I'm sure he cares. He died for your soul that's perishing, and mine. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Think about that. There's a lot of rich people in this world. There's a lot of people that owns a lot of stock, property, gold, silver, wealth of all descriptions. But if they were to suddenly die, they'd lose their soul and lose all they had while they were here. And then they'd have to give an account to God how they used and how they got what they had. Mm-hmm. You got to give an account how you got it and how you use it, all that you got, because we're stewards. He's entrusting us with his property. How are you using it? You got to answer one day. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Matthew 16, 26 and 27. Judgment Day, that's all I can say. It's on God's calendar. You can't get around it. Can't have a sick day that day and miss it. Nor a leave day. Nor a vacation day. You got to be there on that day. So Jesus stresses the value of man's soul, and unfortunately, too many people are not concerned about their own soul. Where are they going to spend eternity? But you're going to spend it somewhere. And it's where you determine by the grace of God. Have you trusted Jesus? Really? Truly? Ask Jesus to be your Savior? Think of all the resources and concerns for men's lives because of the hurricane. Yet the souls of people is far more important than people realize. People are just going through all kind of efforts to help people's physical lives. That's good. I'm for it. But the soul is much more important. We need to be handing out Bibles down there. We need to be handing out tracts down there. I did notice where a woman and got to singing some gospel down there. And boy, it went all over the YouTube or somewhere as she was singing, trying to cheer the people up. She was a big mama too now. But she could sing, singing for the Lord to encourage the people. Think of all the resources. The soul of man will live forever somewhere, and only Jesus can cleanse the heart of man. Only Jesus. Only one place you can go to get right with God. Jesus. You can't go to God straight. You got to go to Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. A lot of people are missing heaven on account of that. They think they can just call on God. They'll be, no, you won't. You got to accept Jesus. He's the one that paid for your sin. He's the Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, John the Apostle wrote. You can reach and save the lives of people with boats and helicopters and people, but only the gospel of Jesus Christ will save the soul of people who are willing to repent. The Bible says that the Word of God is the engrafted Word that's able to save the soul of man. The engrafted Word, James wrote in his letter. Yet we see no great interest by people for the souls of people. We used to hear tell of soul winners. We don't hear tell of that no more. The government has no interest in the souls of people. Did you know that? The government don't care about your soul. You know what the government cares about? Y'all want me to tell you the truth what the government wants? Your money. And for you to behave yourself. Amen? They just want your money and you behave yourself. In many countries, the preaching of the gospel is prohibited. Some countries, you can't preach the gospel. In some countries, there are limitations where you can preach. In some, there is freedom to proclaim the good news, like in our country. But sometimes that even kind of gets on the touchy scale. But in all of the countries, none that I'm aware of are interested in the souls of people. No country, no government. Anywhere out of 200 countries are interested in your soul. That's pitiful, isn't it? You see, you know why that is? The devil runs the countries. The devil's in charge of the countries. It's the responsibility of the church to get out the gospel. We're supposed to be interested in souls. We should be trying to get the gospel out. That's why we have a mission program. It's why we have radio, television, newsletter. We're trying to share. God will save you if you'll accept Christ. It's our work. It's been given to us by the Lord. Preach Jesus. Share Jesus. And so when you support the work of the church through missionary, through our giving, our goal is to reach the lost. Tell others they need Jesus. The church knows what Jesus has said about the souls of people in Luke 13:5. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Every person that fails to repent. What do you mean repent? In order to get saved, you got to repent. But when you hear someone preach and you say, I know I've lost, and you say, I'm going to accept Jesus as my Savior. You just repented because you changed your mind. You've been not changing your mind. You've been saying, no, not Jesus for me. I got to have a good time first. But then you said, I'm going to accept Jesus as my Savior. You just repented. That's what repentance is. Change your mind. And you ask Jesus to save you because you know you're lost. Amen? Y'all listening to me? See, what I'm telling you that's saved, you can tell somebody else that's not saved. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner that you died for, and I'm asking you to save me. Now I'm going to start serving you. Amen? Amen? The indifference of the lost is apparent, the Apostle Paul wrote, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Oh, I don't need to get saved. Oh, if they go to heaven, I know I'll go. I'm as good as they are. See, that's foolishness. No, they won't go to heaven unless they believe on Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can save us. That don't make us better than the unsaved. I'm no better than anybody. I'm no better than a drunk or a doper or a harlot or anything. I'm nothing but a saved sinner by the grace of God. And I'm supposed to live different. I'm supposed to live different. The Apostle Peter wrote, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord often delays judging people that's lost, giving them ample time to trust Jesus. Ain't he gracious? Ain't God gracious? And I see people that's young get killed or die. And you know what I think? I think God knows that they would never have got saved if they'd have stayed here 100 years. So he just lets them die young, which is a warning to other people. You better believe on Christ. You better believe on Christ. If you lose your soul, you've lost it all. Now, them people in Texas, they think they've lost it all. But if they're saved, they're still rich. Amen? If they're saved, they're still rich. And the Lord, listen to me, church, listen to me. If them people is saved down there, God has promised never to leave them and to make a way for them. Ain't that good? Isn't that good? Because he's a good God. The heart of God longs for people to repent of their sin and trust Jesus as their Savior. He don't want anyone to be lost. Souls are precious to the Lord. The Lord wants to show everybody His glory, His riches, how much He loves them, and He wants to show it to them forever. He don't want anyone to miss it. Proverbs 10:28. I'm closing. Sometime this week. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. I just look forward to going to heaven. I expect to go any day. But the expectations of the wicked shall perish. The expectations of the wicked shall perish. When he dies without Christ, he has no more hope. Proverbs 10:28 states, when people are saved, they are given peace, joy, and a meaning in life. But those who are never saved will be eternally separated from God and all that is good. Only now can the lost be reached, and only the gospel of Jesus will save them by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes the blood to wash away our sin. That's why you got to trust Jesus. He poured out His blood to save us from our sin. So we must keep reaching out and sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with other people, folks. We've got to rescue the perishing. Keep preaching. Keep getting out the gospel. Think of ways to get the gospel out. That's the reason I say hand out tracts. These little booklets we get, hand them out. CDs, hand them out. Somebody might get saved and go to heaven. And the Lord will enjoy them for eternity. Because so many people are going to miss the joy of the Lord. Loving God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity that you gave me again to share with your people the good Word of God. Challenge our hearts. Encourage us. Give us opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you. Love you. In His saving name, amen and amen. Lord, speak to hearts. We invite you to Christ today. You need to come pray for somebody, for some need in your own life. We give you that opportunity here at the close of the service.